From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
And with that, we welcome you to the Friday edition of the program. Welcome back, everybody. We got a full house here. Alberto Urueta is here. Adrian Broaddus is here. Yours truly, taking you through our final day of the week on Mother's Day weekend. Yes! Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. I hope you have a great weekend, a great Sunday. Do what you want to do, enjoy it, and just have fun. And that's what it's really all about. And we're excited about that. Excited about that here on the program today. And Adrian, should be a lot of fun. Lane Frank is dropping by today in our 5 o'clock hour. Today is day one of the Conference USA Track and Field Championships going out of Kidd Field. That's happening all weekend. A lot of cool things going on right now.
Yeah, I feel like it's getting real busy, even locally with all the sports going on. Alberto Urueta was out there for track and field. He was over there for softball yesterday out in Las Cruces. So very busy week for UTEP, winding up their spring sports right now. And then speaking of UTEP, graduation is tomorrow. There's a chance that Cade McConnell and the entire McConnell family make a quick drop by here on the show and just say hi before they head off to the game. Miss McConnell has not met us here on the show, and we have not ever met Bo McConnell, which is Cade's brother. We've met Sean before in the past.
Oh, but, I've met Cade's mom.
Oh, you met Deanna?
I did. I met her at the UTEP spring game when I arrived just in time to see their tailgate before they packed up.
Nice. That's awesome. I think she wanted to come here in the studio and specifically check out the studio and stuff like that. Like we said, Sean had stopped by before. And so, yeah.
Is she stopping by today?
She's going to stop by today. Bo's going to try to stop by today.
Oh, the whole family's going to be here.
They just want to see us and just want to say hi before they head off to the game.
Very nice. Very, very nice. I'm excited about that. Is the actual graduation tomorrow?
Tomorrow, that's right, yes. I'm not sure what time it is.
I don't know either.
There's a couple different ones. UTEP for commencement, they go like 10 a.m., 1 p.m., 5 p.m., that kind of thing. They stagger it up for different colleges.
You know, I don't think I've ever been to a UTEP graduation.
Really?
I didn't graduate at UTEP. My brothers graduated at U of A. And my wife graduated at NMSU. So I don't know if I've ever been to a UTEP graduation.
Really?
Yes.
Wow, that's interesting.
It is interesting.
For all these years,
I know. So, and I'd love to see Cade walk tomorrow, but it's playoff baseball tomorrow. We've got a game at 1 o'clock, and if we win that, we've got a game at 2:45. Then we're at the UTEP Dinner Theater for the dinner performance tomorrow of Legally Blonde.
Let's go.
Excited about that. I'll see you there tomorrow night. And then Sunday's Mother's Day, and we're at the ballpark.
Man, this weekend's going to fly by. It's a very busy weekend. You're highlighting it all there, Steve. I didn't walk, so I didn't go to my own college graduation.
What do you mean you didn't walk?
I didn't go.
Skipped your graduation?
I was working here, and I went on the 915 Tours trip for the Dallas Cowboys versus the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh, that's actually a better gift than... So wait a minute. So the day of your graduation, the actual day.
Yes, it was like a Saturday.
You weren't working here.
Correct. I was here.
You worked here on a Saturday?
Well, I wasn't technically working. I was out 915 toursing for that game. It was a Saturday. Oh, yeah. It was December. I was a December grad, so it's not like a May grad. A little different. So, yeah.
Oh, so you went on the trip.
I went on the trip instead.
So David treated you to a graduation gift.
That's right. You could just call that the graduation present itself.
Dude, that's a sweet gift.
I know, man. And I wouldn't take it. If you asked me, well, would you do it any differently? The Rams got killed. They didn't even stand a chance, and I wouldn't do it any differently. Graduations are hard for me, man. Take a long time.
Alberto, did you graduate at UTEP, or did you skip it like Adrian did?
No. I graduated last December. I was also a December graduate. I wanted to skip, but my mom didn't let me. So I was like, all right, I'll do it.
Wait a minute. You wanted out, and your mom said, no, you're going?
Yeah. They were like, nah.
Okay.
And the thing is, my family gets really rowdy, so I'm like...
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they act like they've never been there before, and I'm like, literally,
making crazy noises when you were introduced?
Yeah, and also after. That's the thing. My family goes crazy after, and like, what I mean after is like, when everyone's taking pictures, they like to go like... They like to like do full like chants, and it's like... Literally, my first three cousins were valedictorians, gave the speech at University of Oklahoma for the Sooners. They all gave a speech, a bachelor's from UTEP, and you guys are losing your mind. Come on, gather yourselves.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. That is crazy. Sounds like fun. It does.
That's a hype squad right there. I like it.
Man, let me tell you something. I am feeling good that you had the chance to enjoy. And by the way, was there pressure for you knowing that you had the valedictorians and all that for your family? Did you feel almost like if you just graduated without honors, you were disappointing the entire Urueta family, or were you not like that?
I mean, maybe the extended family was more than a little disappointed, but no, my dad, when you boil it down, my dad, look, I have an older sister, and she elected to just kind of take it legit one class a semester at a time, so she'll finish in 30 years. And so,
yeah, that's nice, man. I like the fact your sister's doing it the right way.
Yeah,
she's not in a hurry.
I've tried to talk to her. She doesn't listen. And then so I left school for a little bit, and I went back, so my dad didn't get to see my sister walk. I walked late, and then my little brother left school. Doesn't look like he's going to graduate. He did a trade. So, my dad was, and my mom, you know, they were really like, no, we won't. Well, like, I knew I had to give it to them, you know. They deserved it, and they helped me through this. So it was just as much my accomplishment as it was theirs.
Nice. Nice. I like that. Hey, by the way, if you are graduating this weekend, congratulations. It's only UTEP this weekend, right? It's not anything else because high school kids are still in class right now. They don't get to graduate for another few weeks.
Yeah, maybe another month. I mean,
good Lord,
that sucks. Yeah, it feels like high school is just, staying forever. I mean, shout out to all those people there. That's tough. Year-round school is tough, Steve. I really valued my summers.
Joel came up this morning in the kitchen as he was getting ready to leave, and he goes, 3 more weeks. I go, hey, man, congratulations. He goes, I can't wait. He is already ready for summer.
I feel like most people around this time, I mean, the STAR test is over.
Yep.
You've already done all the testing. You've already, like, if you're in high school, you've done the AP tests as well. What are you doing at this point?
I don't know. It's a great question. Well, no, he still has, like, little quizzes and things like that.
Man.
But
that's brutal.
You know, yeah. His grades are good, which is good. Has to be good. His grades, if his grades aren't good, he loses his privileges. No phone, no video games, no computer, none of that stuff.
He can't miss out on Fortnite.
No, seriously. And, he's got to take care of the house and do some chores and things like that. That's the only way it works around the house. So we're talking to a friend of ours. Apparently their kid had a bit of a rough semester, lost everything.
No video games.
All of it gone.
No phone.
Nope.
All that stuff. Those are the tough days.
And apparently, he's a smart kid. He just doesn't turn in his assignments. And that's why he got dinged.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard that turning in assignments helps your grades.
It does. Hey, so I'm on the road today. I'm on 375, right? I'm over there by I'm over there on 375 near the Pan American Socorro exit, right? So as I'm driving to a client today, the exit's closed. I mean, 375 north, the exit was off. So I had to go past the Pan American exit, jump on 375 going south, exit Pan American. But before I did, I got behind an SUV that had so many stickers on the back of the car. I did what I never do. It's so dangerous. I grabbed my cell phone, took a photo out of the front window of it, and just put it on Twitter and X. No explanation, no nothing. Just the photo of a car with more stickers than you could ever imagine. Now, I find this interesting because here's the deal, okay? When my family was growing up, actually my family, when our family was growing up, I said, when we were kids, okay, my dad had a 1981 Chevy Monte Carlo. Cream was the color of the car, right? And it had that roof, that I don't know what it was. It was like that brown roof like so many cars did in the 80s. And drove that car forever. Matter of fact, that was the car that I think I parallel parked on when I passed my driving test back when, remember I told the story when I went the wrong direction on Wrestler? My dad said he was going to kill us all. That was the car I was in. I was in that car. And we used to have, my dad was really big on bumper stickers. So in those days, like, our bumper was filled with sports bumper stickers, radio station bumper stickers. And then as soon as they would start to wear off with the weather, peel that sucker off, put a fresh one on, and we're off and running. So I've always had a soft spot in my heart for bumper stickers because we were one of those families. Now, let me be very clear here. Just the bumper is what we did back in the old days, okay? We did not take stickers and basically put them so cover the entire back window where you can't see out of it. So as I'm driving and I see this SUV in front of me with more stickers than than I've ever seen, I had to take a picture because the first thing I thought is, how does this individual even see in the back of them? How could they even tell what's behind them? And Adrian, again, I wanted to put it on Instagram because I thought FitFam would get a field day out of it. But then I said, nah, you know what? I don't have time. I'm just going to throw it up there with no caption on Twitter and X, and that's it. And I completely forgot I did it. And then all of a sudden, I opened up my social account before the show, and I'm like looking at all these messages going, what's this? And I realized, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I put the car with the stickers all over it on social.
Yeah, I loved it. In fact, I saw it, as I was leaving the station and as I was driving around, I saw a car. So I was like, wait, is this a Friday thing, Steve? So I sent off one to you of a truck that was covered in stickers as well. The one that you sent was like a lot of, it looked like a lot of different states, a lot of different miles. You know, maybe they were a marathon runner or something like that. The one that I took was definitely not. It was something completely different than that.
Now, let me say this, okay? First off, the person driving, I believe it's a Purple Heart. So if that's the case, thank you for your service. Let's get that right out of the way because the license plate does have a Purple Heart on the left side. At least I think it's a Purple Heart. At least that's what it looked like for me when I took the photo.
Right. Yeah. Right. Definitely.
And then it's got the license plate holder says, "You'll find me at Rosa's Cantina." That's another win.
Really cool.
And then on the very bottom, the only other sticker in the very bottom of the car says, on the actual bumper, by the way, hey, this is the bumper sticker area, okay? It says, out in the West Texas town of El Paso, Rosa's Cantina. So whoever drives this car decided that Rosa's deserves a special place below every other sticker on the car, right? Because he's got the license plate holder and the Rosa's Cantina sticker. But then I started looking, and some of these things I can't tell. I see I love Vermont, Big Bear, Run 915, Miami is on there, Willie House, 6288, Phoenix, a bunch of other stickers. I have no idea what they are. And there was something about Roasters. It's supposed to be a coffee place. But anyway, I was so fascinated by this. Adrian, I drive all the time. I've never seen a vehicle that's just covered pretty much all around the back of the car in complete stickers. Like, you can't see anything else because of the stickers.
This reminds me of that one person when they go to Whataburger and they have a lot of modifications and they get back their burger and it's like covered in stickers on Whataburger, like on the Whataburger before they peel it off. So that's what it reminds me of right here.
Chuko Wayne had a great comment, though. He said, looks like they're missing a 600 ESPN El Paso sticker. They are. In fact, I have plenty. So if you own this Subaru Outback, I won't give the license plate out because that's not really nice. But I'll just say that if you own it and you're listening to the show and you want to put a nice-looking sticker near that Rosa's Cantina spot or your Dutch Brothers coffee spot or whatever other sticker you have, just give us a call, 505-6009. We will hook you up with a 600 ESPN El Paso sticker, which truthfully belongs on that car. It really does. Chuka Wayne is 100% right.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, he needs to throw on the radio station on there. That's definitely the case. We'll hook you up with the sticker. I like the call, Steve.
Maybe we just show up at Rosa's because there's a very good chance that car will be there. And without even telling the person, we'll just put the sticker on the car for him.
Yeah, right next to the Rosa's Cantina one.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that would be excellent because there's definitely some spots and some definitely some blank spots right there next to the Rosa's Cantina a sticker, and then maybe put two 600 ESPN El Paso stickers on either side.
Alberto, thoughts?
That really, when I saw it, I was like, we need more stickers. I'm just kidding. Yeah, that would really
more stickers.
That would distract me when I looked back and would have probably also caused me to wreck almost immediately. I don't have the best track record, but we won't get into that right now. But what I want to know is, does putting that many bumper stickers on your car affect the resale value? What does Kelly Blue Book say about the resale value of that car?
Something tells me that car is not getting sold anytime soon. Most people that drive Subarus drive them forever. And since that person decided to just completely deck their Subaru out with every sticker they can find, think about this, okay? If you sell that car, you're not peeling off those stickers because they're not going to stick on your next car. So chances are, that's the last car they're going to drive, because that's just the way things work when you're dealing with the amount of stickers on the back of that vehicle.
Yeah, I agree completely. Like, I would be worried after the 100-degree weather that we have after a while if those start to just stick on there permanently. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the downside of having so many stickers on your car. I'm a sticker hoarder, Steve. I probably hold too many, and I don't place them anywhere. I got to figure out a place, like either my laptop. Some people put it on their cases. Some people put it on like a mini refrigerator. I got to figure out what to do with all the stickers I hoard.
I don't blame you. I didn't realize you're a hoarder when it comes to stickers.
Yeah, I have way too many.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I like them. There's a lot of really cool stickers I've got, and I have no place to put them, so I just have them in this drawer in my house.
Okay. By the way, should I throw this on Instagram right now?
I think you should. Yeah, this needs to go on there. Tag FitFam, even if it's in your story instead of a post itself. Tag them. Let's see if they catch on, because I think it's hilarious.
I don't know what I need to do, because I do not do enough Instagram, so you're going to have to help me out when we come back. All right, we'll do that during the break. All right, more in a moment. 19 Pass, good to have you with us on a Friday. But first, let's go to Charlie One and get ourselves a traffic update. Found a good one today on the road. You found a pickup truck, a Tacoma. And interestingly enough, though, they were very strategic in their sticker placement. Lots of stickers on the left, lots of stickers on the right. However, right in the middle of that pickup truck, a clear shot so they could at least see something behind them.
Yes, and then the weird one, though, is the fact that there's not a lot of stickers in the middle part of, like, the actual, what is this called, the bed of the truck?
The bed, yes.
Yeah, so that's kind of weird.
It. They left it. They left the middle completely unaltered, but the rest of it, it's full of advertisements.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a weird mix of, stickers right here. You got Topgolf, you've got the Red Sox, and then you've got a lot of political ones, too.
I know. It's pretty pretty good. Anyway, I do like it. Steve on Wrestler did say wild guess with a 26.2 sticker on the passenger side of the bumper. I'm assuming the driver has run marathons at all those locations. Oh, that would be cool. You imagine if that is if that's the case, if that vehicle is a complete salute to just all the marathons.
That could definitely be the case. I think Steve on Wrestler is onto something. And then maybe the other stuff, like it's got the Dutch Bro sticker. It's got, you talked about the Run 915 sticker. Yeah, it kind of feels like this is all a coffee enthusiast, somebody who likes to run in different cities.
Anyway, G Sir E responded also that it's a Subaru thing. Maybe that is.
Maybe it is. That's true.
That could be the case. Anyway, I do like that. Mountains and Mesas. Was that you tailgating me, Steve? Oh, man, I wish. No, it was a weird situation. I shouldn't even have been behind that. Anyway, so, this is interesting. So this is from Brian from downtown. He says, Combat Vet Purple Heart awardee, which we knew. We mentioned that in the first part of the segment. And Rosa's Cantina, owned by the El Paso County Republican Party chair, patron, enough said. All right. Well, I don't know if that's the vehicle that who owns that, but that is interesting. Yes, we did see that it was a Combat Vet Purple Heart awardee. That's true. And maybe they do run a lot of marathons. But yes, I do. And I did say thank you for your service. However, that's a lot of stickers, man. I just don't know. Like, if you could you see yourself taking your ride and putting so many stickers on the back window, like basically on the back windshield, that you can't see out of it?
No,
like, would you ever want to do that?
No, I actually, you know what? I like the idea of bumper stickers, like where you throw a couple there. Yeah, I just feel like having too many, then you start to be that guy. Like, hey, there's that guy who drives that car, and he's got all the stickers. And I just, you know, for me, I want to move a little bit. I feel like I talk so much. I want to move a little in silence.
Yeah, I understand. It does make sense. But I did like it just because it was something to see. And, hey, you know, that's, I guess the beauty is if you drive around El Paso enough, you see a lot of things. You're on the road all the time. You must see everything.
Yeah, I see a lot of these different cars. But it's funny when you see a good, like, funny bumper sticker and you take a picture of it. I think this might need to be like a thread. When you find or you're behind a car and it's got a hilarious bumper sticker or something like that, snap a pic and reply it to this one right here.
That's a good point. Good point. 28 past the hour. As we continue here on Sports Talk. But anyway, that's just the start of the day. Tonight, we have a lot going on. We have Knicks and Pacers at 5. Then we've got the second game tonight, which, by the way, Nuggets have to win. I mean, this is a must. If they lose tonight in Minnesota, they're done. Minneapolis, actually, is where the T-Wolves hold this 2-0 lead. I mean, for the Knicks, I mean, OG Anunoby's out. So, If the Pacers lose tonight, something's wrong. Like, this should be the game that Indiana wins to get back in this series. And by the way, if Anunoby's going to miss the rest of the series, and you're already without Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle, and Bogdanovich, if you're the Knicks, I mean, here's the other question. Can you win 2 games out of the next 5 to win this series, knowing they're going to be depleted, and Alec Burks is probably going to be asked to come on tonight and play big minutes?
Yeah, first off, the Alec Burks stuff is terrible because they've had this rotation, this 7-man rotation this entire time, and Tibbs has not budged. He likes this rotation. He wants to stick to it. He is not going to deviate from this rotation. So throwing in Alec Burks to kind of is like a wrench in this whole discussion, I think that hurts them a little bit. I think Precious Achiuwa takes some of those minutes that OG Anunoby would have taken. I'd also say with OG Anunoby, they've played a lot of games without him. And toward the end of the season, too, where they had to play some meaningful games and get in the right seating that they wanted to. Granted, that was with guys like, at least Bojan Bogdanovic, but they still didn't have, guys like you mentioned earlier, some of the players who've been out all season long, like Randle, or at least half of the season. For the Knicks tonight, though, why are they 7.5-point underdogs? Like, that's way too many points. I get it. They're without OG Anunoby, but is he that much of a swing?
Well, listen, they're playing 7 with Precious playing 20 minutes a game. So now they're going to be, I mean, they're 6 with Precious, 7 with Burks. I mean, that's just, it's what they have to do in the rotation. They don't have anybody else. That's the other problem right now. You got look at who they could possibly play. What are you going to do? You're going to play Daquan Jeffries? You're going to play, Shake Milton? What are you going to do?
Yeah, Milton's the one with the playoff experience, but he's probably not ready whatsoever. So, yeah, I would say, I mean, they lost backup center Mitchell Robinson. He's 6 to 8 weeks, so he's probably done for the entire playoffs. So, yeah, their options are running low. You're asking 6 guys to carry the bulk of the everything right here. My other part of this, though, is Indiana's not great defensively. So if you can just, if you're the Knicks, if you can hang defensively and just make this within a 10-point game all the way to the fourth quarter, they could somehow steal this game. And if they get OG Anunoby for game 4, then maybe they close it out and sweep it real quick. So then they're able to get some rest before having to play Boston, which, by the way, Celtics, what a disaster. Yesterday.
We'll talk about that when we come back. 31 past the hour right now here on Sports Talk. But first, let's go to Adrian with Sports Center. Also, we've got a winner for our Mother's Day competition that we've been talking about all week, who's going to join us out there at Southwest University Park. We'll do that as well. Sports Talk continues. But first, let's go to Adrian with the update. All right, Adrian, thank you very much. As we continue, 33 now past the hour here on Sports Talk. 505-6009, that is our telephone number to get right on through to the show today. And by the way, it's going to be a good one. The McConnells are going to be dropping by, so will none other than Lane Frank today for his segment. I'm excited about that. But let's talk about what happened last night to the Celtics. When we were on the air yesterday, we said that Cleveland will not win a game in Boston, and probably not in the series, because they just don't have enough to go around and help out Donovan Mitchell. Last night, they looked like the team that will beat Boston in a seven-game series. I know it was only one game, but everything played perfectly into Cleveland's hands. And I'll say this about Boston. As good as they are when they click, man, when they have clunkers like last night, it's not, they don't even try. Like, that game was just over from the very beginning.
You know, Boston's weird, right? Because they're the far more talented team. They're the far better team than Cleveland. Yet they don't show up. Mm-hmm. Like, I look at Jason Tatum and I put a lot of the blame on him. 7-for-17 yesterday. Only made a pair of three-pointers. And he's not a great three-point shooter to begin with, but still just didn't like his game whatsoever. He was minus 22 yesterday. When you combine that with Jaylen Brown, who was also minus 29 in terms of efficiency and plus-minus, yeah, it's a bad day for your two stars out in Boston. Those two guys didn't show up yesterday, simply put.
They didn't. Noah Guerrero gets into the show at the Noah _G. It is concerning how bad Tatum has looked this playoffs. It baffles me, Noah says, how bad the Celtics are at home in the playoffs nowadays. Red Auerbach is rolling in his grave. Yeah, because the Celtics never lost at home when Red Auerbach was with the team. I mean, they had some losses against the Lakers in those battles, but never like this. This was just, it was awful. Yeah. Absolutely awful.
You talk about the 80s, the great Celtics teams in the 80s that had such toughness with Larry Bird. And you know, you talk about all the great players they had, Kevin McHale, even the, you know, decade before that with Bill Russell and how hard-nosed they were defensively. And you talk about those mid-2000 Celtics teams with Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Rajon Rondo, you name it, Ray Allen. Those guys were tough. They were dogs. But this time around, these guys, they're not. They're just not. I've never really thought that of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I don't say the same thing about those two guys. Are they some of the most talented younger players in the league? Yes, but they don't have that kind of toughness to them in certain games. And yesterday was a prime example of that. If you're truly one of the toughest teams in the league, you're going to go out and beat an inferior team like that pretty easily, and you're not going to take a night off in the postseason.
How do you get outscored by 24 points in the second half at home?
Yeah, it's just, the crowd was bad yesterday. It felt like a malaise at TD Garden. It was disappointing all around. I feel like with this group right here, you can't take these playoff series for granted, because if you play New York, if you're the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, you can't just take a night off.
That's true. And then Luka last night didn't take a night off either. Nearly a triple-double, 29 points, 10 boards, 7 assists. That was enough to propel Dallas to a 119-110 win over the Thunder to even that series out at a game apiece.
Yeah, they got real hot from beyond the arc, from the perimeter. It was Tim Hardaway Jr. who really killed it for the Mavericks. And
yes, he did.
Luka's playing hurt right now. He's slow. He's still killing it, and he's still hitting the big shots. But you could tell that knee is not 100%. I wouldn't be surprised if there's, you know, a game that he doesn't play in this series, and it's a Kyrie show. I really like the two-man game that we're seeing from Derek Jones and Derek Lively. They've got some nice tall, you know, big men on that Dallas team. The one area, the one gaping hole that they have is the no Maxi Kleba. He is hurt right now. He's not expected to be back in this series. Maybe back by the Western Conference Finals if they make it that far. So this is just going to go back and forth. I think it still goes to 7, and now Dallas goes in taking, you know, home court advantage away from Oklahoma City.
But if it goes 7, you have to give the advantage ultimately back to the Thunder, because I don't think they're going to lose two at home in this series.
That's a good point. I mean, look, they're a tough team, and yesterday they saw Dallas just shoot lights out. My biggest concern for Oklahoma City is their offensive rebounds and their second chance points. If they can square that up, they just weren't good on the glass yesterday, simply put, and if they get better on that, I think they'll be much better, you know, throughout the rest of the series. I'm really going to be watching this one all the way through. I'm really excited about it.
Yep, I am too. I think it's going to be real interesting. By the way, I don't know, did you see the Luka Doncic press conference last night after the game?
Yes, I did.
What was that?
It was awful.
Was somebody actually playing porn in the background, or was that actually something that was going on adjacent to the locker room?
They said that it was a speaker that somebody did not disconnect from. So, I mean, you take that for what it is. So it was a speaker that was there. They tried to disconnect from the Bluetooth speaker, and maybe they had whatever was on there on their Twitter feed, on Safari or something like that, and didn't close it in time so everybody heard. So it was as distracting as anything. Even Luca looked up and was like, baffled by the whole thing.
So you're telling me that somebody was watching that during the press conference and it was connected to their Bluetooth speaker?
Yes. A Bluetooth speaker. Yes. Yes. They were trying to disconnect. Apparently the story was they were trying to disconnect from a Bluetooth speaker that they were already connected to it. It sounds like somebody within the Dallas media organization, right? Because the only people who are having any kind of connections like that are people who work for the actual organization or whoever. Maybe it's somebody from the Thunder, not necessarily the Mavericks, but regardless. Somebody from either team was probably connected to any kind of Bluetooth speaker.
Oh, I thought just the way it sounded to me was that it was like in a room right next door to the press conference that something crazy was going on. But no, this was just somebody going on social media, watching something they shouldn't have at that point in time, and it happened to be connected to a speaker that was audible enough to be in the press conference.
Yeah, it's probably even more awkward because everybody probably knew who it was. Like, everybody looked back, and it's the person who's trying to, frantically close their phone or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so every reporter who was there said that they all looked back and they saw somebody trying to get off this.
So they knew the culprit on this.
Yes, yes. And even Lucas saw the guy. Geez. Yeah, yeah.
That's hilarious. All right, 20 in front of 5 as we continue here on Sports Talk. 505-6009. That is our telephone number. Come back with more in a moment. Stay with us. We're with you till 6:30. Story time with Hags coming up in a few hours here on 600 ESPN El Paso. 48 past as we continue here on Sports Talk. 505-6009. That is our telephone number. 505-6009. Get you through to the show. We held a... by the way, good job by UIYS getting in on Twitter and X with this one. Mavs scoring on and off the court. By the way, we found out that apparently what happened, and Adrian was able to clear this up. This was simply a reporter that was going to record the audio, which I guess he was already hooked in through the Bluetooth, hit the wrong button, hit the wrong window, had something else up on his phone besides that device, and unfortunately, when he played it, he couldn't close it quick enough.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, I can't even – there's no excuse I can develop for this this journalist right here, this reporter. If you're in a press room, you got to be ready to go, man. Come on.
You do. We've been there 1,000 times. That's never happened.
Nothing like that is on my phone before a press conference. Come on,
nope,
man.
Nope. That's just not the case. Although, I mean, hey, Luca got a kick out of it, and so did all the media in there. That's for sure. Anyway. That's a crazy story. We got 10 in front of 5 right now. We also have Lane Frank joining us from Schoolyard Sports here at the top of our 5 o'clock hour. Cade McConnell's going to drop in as well as he gets ready for graduation with the whole family today. Excited about all that. And just looking forward to the busy sports weekend. By the way, the Rangers last night, New York Rangers, they had a 3-2 lead. Or no, they had a 2-1 lead. It was a 2-1 lead.
I think it's 2-1, yeah.
They blow it with 1.5 left to go. Carolina ties it. And then the Rangers, about 1.5 minutes into overtime, get the game winner and end up stunning Carolina 3-2.
Yeah, it was one of those where it was a back-and-forth game. Carolina went up 1-0 in the first period. Then the Rangers evened things up in the second. So it was really winner-take-all in the third, but the Rangers held strong with that 2-1 advantage until the Hurricanes had that late goal to tie it and send it to overtime. But the Rangers with just the... Yeah, I guess it's the exclamation point right there in defeating the Hurricanes. It was a big one for New York to do it in Carolina, to do it for that first one over there. And now they're up 3-0. I mean, they've got all the momentum on their side going into game 4 here. So yeah, I mean, Rangers, credit them for gutting this one out.
That's exactly. Rangers were able to get it done. But you know, the Rangers, they have a 3-0 lead on Carolina. They've won their first 7 playoff games.
Yeah,
how about that?
That's amazing. Shesterkin is incredible, Steve. He is amazing. 45 saves yesterday, almost a 96% save percentage. Just what a job that he did. And then, you know, speaking of great goalies, I mean, how about the Stars yesterday defeating the Avalanche? Yeah, I mean, they've got a great team. It's a tied series there, unlike the Rangers, where they've got all the advantage in that series. Stars even things up at 1-1.
No, they did, and you're right. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, and I think this is still the case, the goalie for the Stars, Jake Ottinger, I'm almost positive he played in the game in El Paso a few years ago. That
wow.
That game against the Phoenix Coyotes, or the Arizona Coyotes, whatever they're called now, that we had here for Hockey Town. I'm almost positive he was in net for that one.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how to pronounce Ottinger's name, but with 28 saves yesterday, he was at a 90% save percentage yesterday as well. So he really gutted out that victory for them at home.
One of the best in the game. He really is. He had a terrific year, 35 wins. A 90% save percentage, you know, during the regular season, and now he's rolling into the postseason. Yeah, it's pretty pretty impressive stuff. So that's a good series to keep an eye on. And then tonight, for you hockey fans out there, we've got Panthers Bruins series tied at one apiece. That's going to be a busy that's the 5 o'clock game as well. Game three from Boston, and then hopefully the Bruins do better than the Celtics at home last night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for those Boston fans, they can't take two losses like that at home in a row at TD Garden. Imagine that. Like, you'd probably need to get some kind of a, you know, I don't know, some kind of blessing to go on at the Garden for next week so they have better success.
Big game tonight also for the Canucks. They lead their series with the Oilers 1-0. They host Edmonton tonight. That's the 8 o'clock game on TNT. By the way, if Vancouver and the Rangers go to the Stanley Cup Finals, it would be a rematch of the 1994 Stanley Cup, which was the last time the New York Rangers hoisted the cup.
Wow.
So that's also something very interesting to keep an eye on right now.
You know, the Oilers are just such a tough team, though. I mean, Connor McDavid is just one of the best in the game, if not the best. He's going to be the guy that I'm looking at today. I feel like the Oilers even things up. Even though Canucks had a better regular season, Oilers have been here. They had a lot of success, or, you know, they've had some postseason success as of late in the recent years. So, yeah, I'm really excited about the rest of this series right here. I would love if it was Vancouver, just a new team who makes it that far. And as far as the Bruins go or the Panthers, I'm kind of going for the Florida Panthers in this series right here. Again, more new teams. That's what I'm rooting for.
If the Stars play the Rangers, I might have to fly to Dallas and go watch a game.
That would be really cool. That'd be a lot of fun right there.
Keep an eye on it, folks. All right, one down, one and a half to go, because we're with you till 6:30. But before we go to break, we need to congratulate our winner of our contest we held for a chance to join us at the Chihuahuas for Mother's Day. How about Michael Martinez taking home the prize?
Yeah, thanks to everybody who submitted their reasoning as to why you and your mom, or the mom in your life, should go join us out at Southwest University Park for the Sunday Mother's Day game. So, yes, Michael will be joining us out there on Sunday.
Yeah, we're happy for him. Congratulations, Michael. We had, by the way, we had great, great registrations and great people that were signing up for this as well. We loved it. Everybody that got into this contest was, I thought they did a terrific job. What Michael out in San Ellie said was, I think my mom deserves the Chihuahuas tickets because, one, she's a Chihuahuas fan. Two, she had me when she was 16 years old, has been working ever since. 47 years later, she's still working. Three, she's so selfless, she takes care of everyone before herself. Four, because she's my mom. Well, Michael, congratulations. You're going. Thanks to 600 ESPN El Paso. Love that. We'll come back. Lane's going to lead off our 5 o'clock hour next. Stay with us.
From the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, here's Steve Kaplowitz and Adrian Broaddus.
Start of hour number two here on the show. Welcome back, everybody. Along with Adrian Broaddus, Alberto Dueta, Steve Kaplowitz with you. Lane Frank is here as well. Last night, Schoolyard Sports dropped 168. And now Lane here to talk a little sports with us for our weekly chat. Happy Friday. Welcome back. How are you?
Great to be back. Really excited for the show today.
What are you most excited about for the show today?
We got a lot of things to talk about. Great things to talk about. NBA, you know, we got a little bit of NFL news in there, MLB, but, you know, just a good all-around May show.
Now, you had the chance yesterday to do something really cool. You moderated an event last night which featured UTEP head football coach Scotty Walden. Now, tell me about this. Have you ever moderated an event before, or was this the first time for you?
I've never moderated an event before, especially, you know, this one being a big one with over 100 people there, a Division I football head coach. But it's my second time interviewing Coach Walden. It went really well.
So you felt pretty comfortable. I saw the intro. Intro was solid. Gave all of his props. He did well. The event itself, where you kind of helped with the Q&A and did all that. I mean, now that you've spent a couple of times, different times with Scotty Walden, what are your takeaways every time?
My takeaways every time is that he's the energy, he's the passion, and there's a certain buzz around Scotty Walden that we didn't see when Dan DeMel came to El Paso. Not so shade to any other coach that's come to UTEP. It's just a different aspect. He's putting himself out there in these appearances, in these ways of explaining NIL. Maybe he starts out a little bit calm in the beginning. Eventually, I mean, he'll be his favorite head coach. He'll be your favorite head coach in the country by the end of it.
Now, let me ask you this, okay? Based on what he's done, which is events like this, all the energy, he brings it every time. Do you almost feel, though, that, like, the team, it has to deliver? Otherwise, does it feel like it's a letdown knowing what he brings to the table with all that energy? Do you feel like now everybody's so pumped up, they're so enthusiastic, you have to bring a product on the field that will find a way to not just keep all the fans that he's re-energized, but grow the fan base as well?
I really don't think he'll fail at all at UTEP. I really think the way things have gone for him in his career at Austin Peay, at his other stops, he's been a winner. Like I said in the intro, 13th overall FCS national ranking. And then he built it up even more. He's got a great recruiting class, the best recruiting class Conference USA in year one, being out schools like Liberty, which have great NIL funds, just made a year six bowl game. He has a great schedule next year. He told me he has 5 players in official visits right now, some from the transfer portal, some from high school. They're going to be a great team in the future, maybe even this season.
Okay. In your opinion, what is, in year one, remember they were 3-9 last year, what is a realistic expectation? And granted, I'm asking you this question on May 10th, not August 10th, which is 3 months from now when they're probably going to be starting their fall camp. But you tell me, what do you think in year one is a reasonable expectation for what Scotty Walden could do with this team?
In year one, a good expectation for Scotty Walden should be to win 4 conference games. And that's taking away the Liberty game, which is going to be a really tough game. Liberty, a very good team. Taking away the games against Colorado State, Tennessee, Nebraska. If you can win 4 conference games, I'm not saying a bowl game, 4 conference games, that'll keep people happy.
So 4 conference games, and then they'll have one gimme in the non-conference, right? Because they do play, I believe, an FCS opponent.
Southern Utah.
So let's say you beat Southern Utah, you win 4 conference games, that will put them at 5-7. So they would go shy of a bowl game, but 5 wins in year one with an offense that should generate some excitement. You believe that's enough to right now get fans excited for the future?
It is enough to get fans excited for the future, especially with where you can build up to UTEP to be maybe one of the best teams in Conference USA and maybe another conference. We're seeing today Conference USA expanding further and further away from El Paso, Missouri.
Yes.
State today. There's going to be a time and place when UTEP will leave Conference USA, in my opinion.
How are they going to leave it, though? Let's talk about this for a second. This was not part of the original plan, but I want to hear this from you.
Let me bring this up first. UTEP basketball had a great season this year, and they've got great potential with the young players they had. They were about 5 minutes away from NCAA tournament experience. Yes?
Fair.
Okay. Football, Scotty Walden can build this program to be a great football program. That's great. UTEP is a great track program. Why wouldn't the Mountain West want a school like UTEP if those things can sustain?
Well, here's the thing. Now, the truth is this, okay? The Mountain West has never wanted UTEP, but in fairness, UTEP has never offered a package worth wanting since 2005. That is probably the last time, UTEP, well, maybe 06, because I'm thinking about the first couple of years of Mike Price combined with the Billy Gillespie, Doc Sadler years when they were going to the NCAA tournament, going to bowl games. That would have been the time to go get UTEP. And I'd have to look at the timeline, Adrian, but I'm almost positive that is when the Mountain West wanted UTEP, targeted them, and that's when the Miners, for whatever reason, decided, no, we're going to stay with the Texas schools and not look to go.
Lane, UTEP football in the last 10 years, they've averaged 3.8 wins a season.
Guess when was the last time UTEP won a bowl game?
1967.
There you go. Learned that last night. It's been a long time. Hopefully that can change.
How did you learn that last night? That should be something that should be like right on that. That should be something you know by heart and not even think about.
Because I didn't realize UTEP has made so many bowl games, but they haven't won one since 1967, the Vietnam War.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Since the Vietnam War.
I'm
you put it into
history.
Perspective right there.
I got the AP test next week. You know
flex
how it works.
On them. Flex on them.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, how much school you got left? How many more weeks of school?
I think we got about 3 weeks of school left. But, you know, big season coming up, big stuff going up.
Like what? What's going on?
You got AP tests. You got to close out well for school.
Okay. So as far as you're concerned, now that tennis is over and done with, now comes the real serious point, and that's just to finish strong.
Now I got to focus on school, finish strong.
This is crunch time. AP tests, those are tough, man.
They are tough. So, all right, I'm looking. I'm trying
you
to look
had
at
them
that.
Back in your day? I'm trying.
What?
Just kidding.
What do you think? I think I was born in like the
30s. I'm kidding.
Yeah, we had these tests. I don't know if they were named the same, but yeah, we had some of those.
Would they be for college credit like that too, Steve?
No. We didn't have college credit.
Yeah, that's why I feel like it's you know, stakes are high. Not only Lane, some of our other guys who are in high school are doing these as well. Stakes are high because then you get college credit if you pass these tests.
That's true. That is true. Listen, in my day. We didn't have a 117 GPA like we have now. I mean, seriously, the idea of a 100-plus GPA is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. 100 is the best score you can possibly have. How are you now able to accumulate a grade point average over perfection? How does that even work?
You know, maybe back in your day it was called OP instead of AP, old people.
Oh, God.
The old people test?
Yeah, that's exactly. The old people, our goal was 100. That was the goal. Now I see these GPAs, just out of curiosity, the valedictorian at Coronado High School. What's their GPA going to be?
I have no idea.
It's probably like a 4.2 or a 4.3.
I'm sitting at a 4.1, and I'm about 25 in the class.
Wait a minute. When do we stop with 100, and when do we start going to the 4.0? Was that around when you were there, Adrian?
Yes, they did the GPA, but I never understood how people get above a 4. That's
tough. It's the same thing with 100. How do you get over 100?
Because they're taking 5.0 classes.
That shouldn't even
count. That's an AP, 5.0.
5.0 shouldn't even. Let me ask you this, okay? How about this? Your GPA when you go to college. When was the last time you had somebody that got a 5.0 GPA?
A genius?
It doesn't happen. If you're a genius, you get a 4.0 GPA. I don't even understand how you could take a 5.0 class. That makes no sense. It doesn't even comprehend to me. Look, I graduated from the University of Texas with a GPA of 3.2. And it was only because I failed a class my second semester in astronomy that screwed up my whole GPA. And I spent 3 years trying to bring that thing up, which I did. I was still upset about that.
Maybe you need a 6.0 right there.
I could have used a 10.0.
You still got it in Texas.
I did, and I still graduated, which
Michigan
was fine.
Better, of course.
What's that?
Michigan better, of course.
Well, I don't know about that. We'll find out. We'll find out in September.
Better at everything.
Are we going?
We are going.
Are we?
It'll be fun.
To the big house?
The big house to watch Michigan win that game.
Yeah.
A lot of big stuff going up. You know, you got Donovan Edwards and Quinn Ewers both on the NCAA football cover, EA college football cover, announced today.
Oh, did they really? That's the cover today?
Announced the cover today.
Are they national covers or regional covers?
This is the deluxe cover. So it has a few players, I think three players. So it'll be Travis Hunter, Quinn Ewers, Donovan Edwards. And those are the main three. And then the background, you've got the new Ohio State running back, Quinshon Judkins. And you've got Carson Beck, Georgia quarterback.
Are you surprised it wasn't Shadur over Travis Hunter?
I am surprised it wasn't Shadur, but credit to them for not making it Shadur. Travis Hunter is the much better prospect and player.
What if Shadur goes number one overall next year? And I mean, I'm pretty much with you, Lane, but there's a chance he goes number one next year.
There's no chance in my mind that Shadur Sanders is the number one overall pick. No chance. Unless they go 12-0 or have a great year. But I don't see that happening.
What about a top five pick?
I still think that's a bit of a reach. I think it could be like a 2022 draft class where no quarterbacks go in the first top 15 picks.
This is a cool cover. I like this cover. In fact, it just shows the back of them. by the way, and right. their helmets. There's no faces. It's just the back. And I noticed it looks like there's a Georgia player. We see Jalen Milroe is kind of in front of yours, Edwards and Hunter. You mentioned Judkins. There's a guy from Notre Dame there. You've got USC represented. That's a cool design. I like that.
I'll tell you something. If you really zoom in on that, you'll see the Pop-Tart from the Pop-Tart Bowl that they have in the game.
Really?
Really.
Where's the Pop-Tart?
Should be somewhere over Donovan Edwards' shoulder. If you can't find it, I'll show you the picture.
All right. I'll take a look at that. Hey, where's the UTEP looking now? Where's the UTEP helmet coming in there?
Hopefully Scotty Walden can build this program to maybe one day have a cover athlete.
Oh, how great would that be? Now, that is the deluxe edition. What about the regular edition? What does that look like? Or we don't know yet.
Regular edition next week. So maybe we'll have a singular cover athlete could be a really big player.
Okay. Your grandfather's here with us right now. Hall of Famer Jerry Rubin. Jerry did not ever attend high school back when there were GPAs of 4.0. Was it back in the hundreds like the rest of us? I mean, again, Jerry, grab that microphone for a second. What is up with this idea now that you can take 5.0 classes? What does that even mean, Jerry?
Well, I think you have to be in an accelerated class in order to get the 5.0.
Jerry, when you were at El Paso High, was there such thing as accelerated classes?
Yes, that's all I went to is accelerated class.
You were full of acceleration.
That's it.
Did you graduate with 100 GPA?
I don't know.
You don't even remember.
They did by points and everything. I made the top 10% of the class, okay, so I was happy.
I got a good story of him right here. Yes. Somehow he finds his report card from 1950, 1850, whatever it might have been, and says, talks too much, B+. I mean, I think that kind of resonates with today.
Oh, really?
It did.
So you're telling me he found his original report card, he got a B+, and it said talks too much.
It did.
Wow. Was this from El Paso High or was it before that?
I think El Paso High, right?
I don't know. I've never seen that report card.
I feel like your memory just suddenly left you, Jerry. You went from telling me you took all accelerated classes to forgetting about your talking too much report card.
It's funny. Yeah. I don't think they had APs back in that day. Steve.
I don't think they did either.
I don't even know if they had them back in your day.
We did, but it wasn't really. I don't know what it was called back then. Who knows? All right. Look, we're one segment in. This has been an exciting start to our show. Can you tell us a little bit when we come back about episode 168 for Schoolyard Sports?
When we come back?
Yes.
Tell you about episode 168. It's going to be a great episode. We'll talk about it when we get back.
And we're also going to talk sports with Lane Frank as well. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back right after Charlie One in this traffic update. All right, back here on Sports Talk, 21 past the hour. Back with Lane Frank, host of the Schoolyard Sports Podcast. Hall of Famer Jerry Rubin also here with him as well. I like the way that sounds. It sounds good.
It's a good ring to it.
It is a good ring to it. I think he likes it, too. And looking forward to his induction ceremony here in just a little bit. We'll have a chance to have that and bring him into the class of 2024 for the El Paso Athletic Hall of Fame. I love the fact that you dropped an old report card that he talked too much in the last segment. That was good. You don't shy away with Grandpa Jerry, do you?
Definitely not.
I can tell.
He's my agent. That's what he likes to say. He's my agent.
He is. He books you. Did he help book your gig last night, your moderating gig?
Oh, yeah, he did. And first thing he says to Coach Walden, obviously Coach Walden knows he's my grandfather. He says, I'm his agent.
That's good.
That's how it works.
How much you make from last night's gig?
Nothing.
Oh, you did for free.
Experience.
That's good.
Great experience.
Advice. As you get older and you get and they ask you to start doing more and more of these, start charging for it.
When was the last time you did one? Do you do them very often or no?
Moderating events.
You did a moderated event a month and a half ago at Alamo Draft House.
Oh, yeah, with you.
That's right.
Guess how much I made for that?
A penny?
Lunch.
There you go.
Lunch. I think I made that. I made
about
I got
25
a, I,
bucks.
Cobb salad. I want a Cobb salad for that. That was nice. Yes, and something to drink too. Some water. That was good. I heard you had some beverages last night.
Some beverages, we could say.
Adult beverages?
Beverages.
A beverage.
A beverage.
What color was the beverage?
I don't know what color the beverage was.
Was it clear?
Was it clear.
More of a brownish tint?
Let's go a little bit in the middle there.
Really?
On those beverages last night.
Was it carbonated?
Was not carbonated.
Hey, very nice. Look at you. Look at you go. Man, oh man. You are well on your way. Adrian.
These are off-air conversations.
Adrian, he is just wise beyond his years, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Coach Walden there, it's a party.
That's right. Was Coach enjoying any adult beverages or just you?
I mean, he brings the energy to everything.
He does. That guy shows up, and it's just like he said, what was the reaction? He doesn't even need to drink Red Bull. What does he say? He's just
– Yeah, he's just ready to go. Yeah, no coffee, no Red Bull. He's ready to go.
I think maybe the beverages might have slowed him down a little bit even.
Speaking of beverages, Eddie Morelos wants to know, what are your thoughts on the newly named Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice?
Hey, they're coming up with new bowls every day. You know, I'm a little bit upset. It's not the Barstool Arizona Bowl. I love that one. So I'll go with I don't like this because I like the Barstool Arizona Bowl.
Now, listen. Snoop Dogg is Gin and Juice. That's his.
That's your era, not my era.
What are you talking about?
He's like, okay, so you
he's
love,
like more popular now than he was when I was growing
okay,
up.
Okay, so you love Snoop Dogg, but I doubt you know who Kendrick Lamar is or Drake.
No, there's a huge fight with those two right
okay,
now.
Okay, there you go.
They're really upset with each other.
That's what Adrian and I have been talking about.
Who are you siding with, Kendrick Lamar or Drake?
I mean, Drake's Jewish. You got to side with Drake, but I'm on the side for good music. Both these guys, basically a collab album at this point.
If you had to pick one and you said this is the one to go with, are you going Drake or are you going Kendrick Lamar?
I'm going Drake.
Oh, you are?
I am. What would you go with, Steve?
Adrian's holding his head. He can't believe you just said that.
Disappointed in you, Lane. I could go on and on. Our listeners have chimed in on the Drake versus Kendrick Lamar take. I asked Otis Frazier. He says he's Team Drake. David Terrell Jr., he said, what are you saying? Kendrick Lamar won this one a long time ago. I agree with David Terrell. It was done by the first song.
What are you thinking, Steve?
Yeah, gosh, you know what? Listen, here's my thing, okay? Does Drake still have ownership with the Nets?
Drake never had ownership with the Nets.
I thought he had part ownership.
Jay-Z.
Was it Jay-Z?
Jay-Z.
Did Drake have ownership with the Raptors or no?
He's just a big part of the Raptors.
Super Raptor family.
Super.
All right. I don't know.
Ruins all the teams also.
He does ruin all the teams.
That is very true.
Maybe I need to root for Drake because as long as he stays active like that, those teams are never going to be competitive. That's a good thing.
Until he wears a Jalen Brunson jersey.
Oh, God.
Madison Square Garden.
Then I'm going Kendrick Lamar all the way. That'll be the end of that. So, okay. 26 pass as we continue here on Sports Talk. So my thoughts are, do you have any thoughts, as Eddie asked, about the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice?
Don't have many thoughts on it. I mean, it's good. You're getting new bowl games every day. I want to see if that will be in EA College Football, the new video game.
If you are going to be at the Pump Brothers dinner in August interviewing Snoop Dogg, would you be excited about that?
I would be excited about that. I mean, Snoop Dogg's obviously a legend in your eyes, but...
What about your eyes?
For your era.
Why is it my era? Adrian, what is
it? It's not Steve's era.
What
there.
Is he doing?
I would say this whole show.
Steve, do you want to know something?
So this whole show is about different eras. Your era, my era.
I feel like most kids your era know all about Snoop Dogg.
I know about Snoop Dogg. I just don't like Snoop Dogg's music. I like music, that genre, just not Snoop Dogg.
You didn't listen to Snoop Dogg
Snoop
in the
Snoop Dogg's
early
last
90s,
name is Broadus, by the way, guys.
What's his first name? That's a good
Calvin,
find.
Calvin.
Calvin Broadus. Any relation?
Sal just checked in,
lots
by the
of,
way.
Lots of relations.
Sal from the station just checked in. He says, wow, Steve, let's go. You're Team Kendrick. And he's got a couple of fire emojis.
Nice. Good stuff, Sal.
So there you go. All right. Kendrick Lamar. It's 27 passed as we continue here on Sports Talk. I am excited about that Arizona Bowl. The Barstool Bowl did nothing. It always...
You had Frank the Tank doing the coin toss. You had Jake Marsh calling the game. It was great.
So you really thought that was great?
I loved it. I mean, Jake Marsh went to my summer camp. I got to meet him this summer. He was a great guy. Frank Fleming doing the coin toss. I mean, who doesn't want to see that?
Okay.
We interviewed Jake Marsh, Super Bowl Radio Row. Said, hey, you know Lane Frank?
Yeah. And then he was excited.
Jake Marsh, great guy.
Yeah, well.
Barstool.
Adrian was excited when he saw Jake Marsh. That is true. He went right up to him and introduced himself, and yes. I didn't know he went to your summer camp.
He did, and then he came back this year. You know, we did. We talked for a while about sports. It was really fun, 3 days.
Episode 168, let's talk about that. Schoolyard Sports, it dropped yesterday. What are you talking about?
We're talking a bunch about the NBA. I'm giving you my top five failed super teams of all time. NBA, every sport in there. Guess who number one was?
The number one failed super team
of all time.
I gotta think about that one.
It's Jeopardy. You got 5 seconds.
I don't know. Who is it?
Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, that's a good one.
Brooklyn
I like
Nets.
That.
Number two, I actually put North Carolina basketball 2022. Everybody came back. Number one preseason team didn't make the NCAA tournament.
Do you feel like the Brooklyn Nets failed super teams will end super teams? Could that be the failure that ultimately makes teams never want to build super teams anymore like they used to?
No, because I think eventually one day you will get a super team where all guys don't have the same role and same position, and it will work out. I mean, Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, same role, same position. Kevin Durant tries to play every position in every role. It's not going to work out with Kevin Durant and a super team.
What's Kevin Durant going to be remembered as when he's finished with basketball?
A legend of the game who couldn't pave his own path.
And needed to go on a super team in order to win his championship.
And not an ambassador role model for the game. I'll say that.
Interesting. Not an ambassador and role model. What is it about Durant that you feel is just, you know, putting him in that light?
Durant's personality and the way Durant has carried himself throughout his career does that.
Okay. Well, is Durant, in your opinion, a top 10 player of all time?
Top 10 skill player of all time? Without a doubt. I mean, I think if you put Kevin Durant one-on-one with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, both in their prime, it's a different era. Kevin Durant probably wins that. You could put Kevin Durant one-on-one with anybody in NBA history, and he might win that. It's just that he doesn't have the accolades. I know he's the championships, but he didn't pave his own path. He doesn't have the LeBron stats. He doesn't have the MVPs like Michael Jordan. That's my thoughts.
Kareem would kill Kevin Durant a one-on-one.
We're going back to eras again.
We are going back to eras.
Kareem is your era, not my era.
Kareem would destroy Kevin Durant.
That's... Kareem might be a top five.
Do you understand that the skyhook is the one
Kevin
shot?
Kevin Durant is blocking that skyhook.
Nobody could block the skyhook. Nobody could block the skyhook. Even in Kareem's era, when there were players 5 inches taller than Kevin Durant, they still couldn't block the skyhook.
Get out of here.
I'm telling you.
Get out of here.
It is the most unstoppable shot in basketball history, the skyhook.
This is ridiculous.
It is.
Ridiculous.
How is nobody
out of
everybody's
shot, like the Steph shot, the AI shot, the like everything, the LeBron just head down to the basket. Kareem's is probably number one, the skyhook. It actually is.
Of course it is. Come on, Lane. You're better than that.
Get out of here, Steve.
Maybe you're not better than that. But, I mean, I thought you were better than that. Kevin Durant, now, granted, he's 6'11", okay? 6'11". I am telling you right now, he would not be able to block Kareem's skyhook.
Oh, yes, he could.
No.
Kevin Durant is the most skilled, one of the most skilled players in NBA history, if not the.
If we put this stupidity on a poll right now, everybody.
Put it up there.
Nah.
Put it up there on the Twitter.
Okay.
I'll put it on my Twitter, and you put it on your Twitter.
Well, listen, that's fine. We'll do that as we continue here on the show. Alberto, you get SportsCenter. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to do that. We're going to come back more with Lane as we continue. 600 ESPN El Paso.
Let's go over to some MLB news. MLB scoreboard, a rain-delayed Mets-Braves game currently at 0-0. That one in the top of the first. In the top of the second, Twins lead the Blue Jays 1-0. In the top of the second, Phillies up on the Marlins 1-0. In the top of the second, the Nationals lead the Red Sox 2-0. And at 5:40, White Sox taking on the Guardians. That one in Chicago at Guaranteed Rate Field. Let's see. The Dodgers also taking on the Padres. That one in San Diego. And let's take a look over to some playoff hockey. Panthers Bruins underway right now. Currently 5:07 remaining in the first. Panthers up 1-0 on the Bruins. At 8 p.m. on TNT, Oilers taking on the Canucks. Vancouver leads that series 1-0. And now let's go over to some Conference USA news. As it appears, Missouri State will move up to the highest tier of Division I college football and join Conference USA in 2025, the league announced Friday. New foes coming for the Miners. And speaking of the Miners, the Conference USA softball tournament currently underway in Las Cruces, New Mexico. The UTEP Miners unfortunately eliminated last night 10-13 against Liberty. Check out the story and the recap on 600 ESPN El Paso. This has been your Sports Center update from Alberto Urueta for 600 ESPN El Paso.
Thank you very much, Alberto. We appreciate that. Listen. Do you really want to put this thing on Twitter and X? Because you're going to lose it. And then you're going to be embarrassed and you're going to say, well, that's all because the old people are voting. Trust me, I am giving you some things I have to tell you. And you have to just respect it. And it's not from the age. It's just telling. I lived it. I've seen everybody. I've seen Jordan. I've seen Kareem. I've seen everybody that's playing the game now, okay, including Durant. Kevin Durant would not be blocking Kareem's skyhooks. No chance. Sean McConnell, Cade's dad, who's even older than I am, is right behind me, and he's shaking his head no, that there's no way that Kevin Durant, just admit it. The ball was like 13 feet in the air when he released it. You couldn't block the shot.
I already put it out on Twitter. Go retweet it on Sports Talk account. I mean, we have different crowds. We have different followings. You have the El Paso following. I have the Scored Sports following. But I think it's Durant. I'm going to stick by that, and we have different eras of watching basketball.
I have the knowledgeable following. You might have the Schoolyard Sports following. People have been listening to me for 30 years.
People have been listening to me for 4.
That's true. You're well on your way. You're well on your way. Hey, look who's next to you right now. We've got Miner, Cade McConnell, and the whole McConnell family is here with us right now in the 600 ESPN El Paso River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. Cade, welcome back.
Thank you. I mean, it's awesome. I got the family here today, and I just almost saw you guys go toe-to-toe of who has a better following, so that's awesome, too.
Oh, he's got a better following than I do. I mean,
I think you guys probably have a bigger one right now. But
I don't know.
But it wasn't even about bigger. It was about who's better, whose following is more intelligent, which, whoa, we're getting nitty-gritty.
I think mine are. Mine are definitely more intelligent.
See what I mean?
Do you really?
Mine know what they're talking about.
Oh, my God.
Because they follow me.
Listen to you. You know what? I'll be more than happy to come on Schoolyard Sports and debate that topic with you on one of your shows.
We'll have you on again.
We'll do that for 201.
We'll have you on again before 201.
168 just dropped, we'll do 201. Because I was on 101.
You were on 101.
So maybe every 100 episodes I need to make an appearance.
No, you'll get them before then.
I'm still looking to make my first appearance with the Dave's Hot Chicken episode.
Okay, we'll get you on there.
Yeah.
How have you not had... You guys have hosted 2 shows together on this radio station. How have you not had Cade yet? You got to have Cade on.
I mean, it's not football season. There's no buzz about college football.
Makes sense.
You got spring ball, but...
Yeah, we could talk some free agency or some trade stuff. Or I don't know. Whatever.
Talk a little EA college football.
That's what I was about to say.
Yes, yes. The release is just... Wait, it's right around the corner, right? They said it was coming out soon.
Today we saw the release of the deluxe edition, but it was just the cover.
Right.
And then we've got the full reveal 5 days away, and then I think the release July 19th.
Is that when it's going to be?
It's going to be great.
Will you get it early? Will you, will you get the download early because your likeness is in the game?
That's a good question. I mean, I hope so, or I hope they give it maybe like a day early or something like that. That way, at least give a chance for college football players to put it on their social medias, get more buzz about it, things like that. Just another part of the reward of being in the game, right? You get the copy for free, you know, you get the $600, and then you get to, you know, release it and kind of sneak peek it to everybody you know.
Wouldn't it be great if you could also play against a team in Conference USA and have the two of you guys next to each other playing facing off in college football 25?
No, that's going to be something really big. And I've actually talked about that with, you know, good friend Jake McNamara, who, you know, we know now is going to New Mexico State. And obviously there's going to be a big rivalry there. But we were talking about, you know, playing in those games as each other, as rivals, sitting across from each other as UTEP and New Mexico State. It's pretty crazy.
I think a really big thing that Coach Walden brought up to me last night was NIL and bowl games. Some of these bowl games now, they're going to offer NIL to players to make them not opt out. You know, bowl week's always great prep week for teams. You know, they get together. What if we had a full, like, EA college football game between both teams playing against each other?
That would be cool. That'd be a good event for bowl week. That'd be a lot of fun for people.
No, it would. There's a lot of really cool things that, you know, the EA and that the NCAA could do with this. It's just going to depend on how creative they want to get and how much they're willing to, you know, try some things out.
Lane has 3 weeks of school left. You're graduating tomorrow. How does this even happen? Like, how does the public schools still have to be in till probably early June, and here you are getting ready to get your diploma tomorrow?
I mean, it's a 18-week, I think, or maybe a 15-week semester, right? So, you know, plus the finals week. So, I mean, I don't know, Lane. When do you guys start? Do you remember?
Yeah, we start August 1st, and we get out June 8th.
No.
It is ridiculous.
We started, you know, later than that. And then technically, Steve, I could have, so our finals week is this week, right? Mm-hmm. But my finals were online. So if, you know, you really want to talk about if I was, you know, wasn't graduating and wasn't walking, I could have gone home that week before finals week started. And then I only had that one in-person class that week and the teacher canceled it. So I could have gone home like all the way back to like probably the end of April.
Wow.
Is when I probably could have gone home and not had any, you know, class commitments and things like that. So, I mean, now you're really talking about me getting out like almost like a 2 months before you.
Man, how excited are you about having the family back in town and being a part of this one tomorrow?
Super excited, and especially for Bo, too, because, you know, I've gotten to see Mom and Dad a little bit. They've got they get to pop up here from time to time, but Bo's been in school over at University of Utah, hasn't gotten to come up here as often and stuff like that, so last time I saw him was on spring break, so it's nice to have him up here, too.
If Bo shaved his mustache, how, like, close would he be to you in terms of just your face? Like, if you see him clean shaven, would people get the two of you confused?
There has been times where, like, I have like, if you see a picture of me and Bo, like, both clean shaven with, like, kind of the same haircut, you know, all that, there's not a whole lot of differences. Bo's got the blue eyes, I have the hazel eyes, that kind of thing. So that's probably one of the only differences. But there's been many times where I've held up my phone and started to show people or talk about Bo or do something like that. And they're like, wait, I thought that was you. And then I'm like, no, it's my brother. So there's definitely a lot of similarities there.
What's going to happen first? Bo shave the stash or you grow one out? Because I'm just curious when we will see the two of you matched up exactly the same.
Well, it's going to be Bo shaving the stash because I'm not going to grow out my mustache. Like, I've kind of tried that before, and it's just not a good look for me. We talked about this, actually, right, Steve? Me and you bonded over the fact that, like, we're clean shaven.
That's right.
That's just how the world spins, you know?
That's a good point.
Exactly. And Bo, for whatever reason, has had this thing come upon him that he is going to grow this mustache. He's going to keep it, and nobody on planet Earth is going to let him shave it. And so I can't believe it. I need him to shave it.
Ah, okay. I think we've got to hang on 1 second. Talk to me. Oh, does he really? Okay. Well, if your brother wants to be a fireman, then that makes sense. Do you have to have the mustache if you're a fireman? Is that part of the deal?
It is pretty status quo. You know, it's one of the only facial hair that firemen are allowed to have. So, I mean, mustache. I guess that part of it makes sense. But in the meantime, you know, we can stay clean, you know?
Well, listen, if I grew out my mustache and beard, I'd look just like your dad. Probably grayer and whiter because that's why I keep myself clean shaven just at that age. Have you ever tried to grow facial hair, Lane?
I mean, I can grow facial hair. I just like to shave. It's a better look for TV, better look for radio. Good stuff right there.
Will you ever decide to put either a mustache or a goatee on or a beard at any point in time in the near future?
I would never go mustache or goatee. I'd probably just go full beard.
Full beard.
Full beard for TV or whatever it might be.
Okay. But so, you know what? You might look pretty good in a full beard, but keep yourself clean shaven. You're 16 years old. You got some time before you have to worry about that.
So we got Minshew mania in the NFL. You don't want McConnell mania in college football with the mustache?
See, I feel like you always got to, like, you know, you got to take your persona and run with it. My persona is never going to be the stash because first of all, it's never going to look as good as Gardner Minshew. That's the first thing.
He does rock it.
100%.
Fu Manchu.
Oh, yeah, he's got everything. I don't got that. You know, I just don't got
mullet McConnell?
See, that, so without going into the entire story, shout out Gavin Hardison. Me and him had a, agreement. We had an agreement on the golf course, and it resulted in me getting a mullet. So last summer I got a mullet and it was a pretty bad one. Like it wasn't like, it didn't look good, but it showed me that I could do that. Like if I could go mullet McConnell, I could do it again and feel okay about it for sure.
Ah, well, mullet kind of does.
Yeah.
You know?
So. I mean, we could bring it back out on the right terms and conditions. You know, El Paso would have to speak strongly about bringing it back. But if that happened, I could do it.
Would you ever want to shave the sides of your head and just have a crazy mohawk and be Mohawk McConnell?
That was basically what happened last summer. You know, like that mullet really turned into almost like a mohawk with the way that my hair got cut. So, no, I don't want to do that, Steve. Yeah. It's not a good look for me.
Lane, would you ever, like, bet it, make a hair bet, and then if you lose it, you got to shave it all off? Would you ever do one of those?
I really don't think my mom would ever let me grow facial hair. I don't think anybody in my family let me grow facial hair or cut my hair at all.
So you're not buzzing. You're never going to try to do some kind of a bet on Schoolyard Sports where if you lose, you're shaving your hair.
I mean, I try to grow out my hair, and my parents get mad. Everybody in my family gets mad. It's not even that long right now, and they think I need a cut.
All right. Listen, this has been a great conversation. We're going to come back with more in a moment. We've got Cade here. We have Lane here, and we'll wrap up Hour 2 in a moment. 600 ESPN El Paso.